a pleasure to be here as a vessel of God, carrying His living word to deliver to us. And I pray that when we do it, when you hear the words, that they will sit on the table of your hearts and that you will live by it. So this morning as I was preparing to, I was getting ready to come out, this song came to me that I'm used to by the Grace Thrillers. I grew up with this song. Roll back the curtains. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. This morning I could have been somewhere else. But the Lord says, this is your place. This is where you must be today. So I'm here and I hope the words that is coming out will carry you. You will live by them. Something will happen to us today. And I pray that God will empty me of self and fill me up with His words so that we can glorify Him in all things.
Okay, so I'm going to read the passage. Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 40, and then Colossians 1, 15 to 23. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me? So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptised? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptised him. When they come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and travelled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. And then the second passage is from Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 23. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the gospel, held out in the gospel, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you have heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, I didn't greet you, did I? That's so bad. So I need to greet Pastor Steve and all the leaders who enabled me to be here to take this position today, and you, my lovely brethren. So the topic of our lesson is desert decision, as Steve has read in Acts 8:26-40 and Colossians 1:15-23. But there's also a theme around that desert decision. God meets us in the deserts of life to reveal Jesus Christ, the image of the invisible God, calling us to make decisions that change eternity. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, I give you thanks for today. I give you thanks for the words that you have placed in my heart. Father God, let it empty me of self and let it be all about you. Father, I pray that you prepare our hearts and let us live by the words. In Jesus' name, amen. So there's a power of desert decision. Brethren, there are times in life when God leads us not to green pastures, but to dry and lonely deserts. Deserts are places where comfort is scarce, resources are few, and silence seems to echo louder than God's voice. Yet, it is often in those desert moments that God speaks the clearest. Our main passage is not about a crowded city or a mighty revival. It is about a man alone on a lonely desert road between Jerusalem and Gaza. One man, an Ethiopian eunuch, who was searching for truth, reading the prophet Isaiah, and God sent Philip, a spirit-led servant, to meet him in that desolate place. It was there in the desert that a life-changing decision was made. A desert decision is a moment when God meets us in isolation, testing our obedience and faith. It's when divine direction collides with human responses. In the deserts of life, the noise fades, distractions vanish, and what's left is a voice of God asking, "Will you obey me? Will you believe in me? Will you follow me?" Just as the Ethiopian man met Christ through the word that day, we too must come face to face with Jesus, the one whom Paul describes in Colossians 1:15-23 as the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. He is not just the answer to our desert questions. He is the Lord of the desert itself. Today I want to walk with Philip and this Ethiopian traveler down that dusty road and see how God will orchestrate divine encounters in dry places. From this passage, we discover four movements. In the divine encounter, each revealing a truth about how God works in our deserts. Let's begin with the first movement, the divine direction, Acts 8:26-29. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way met an Ethiopian eunuch. Philip had just come from a great revival in Samaria. Miracles were happening, demons were cast out, people were being baptized left and right. From a human standpoint, the last thing anyone would expect is for God to pull his evangelist out of revival and send him to the middle of nowhere. But that's exactly what he did. The angel of the Lord didn't give Philip a full explanation. He didn't tell him who he would meet or what would happen. The command was simple. Go to the desert road. Sometimes God's directions doesn't come with details. Sometimes obedience requires moving before we understand. Abraham experienced this when God said, go to the land I will show you, founded in Genesis 12 verse 1. He didn't have the map. He just had the promise. And that's how divine direction works. God doesn't always show us the destination, but he always shows us the next step. Obedience without full understanding in verse 27 says, so he started out. Philip didn't argue. He didn't delay. He didn't ask for confirmation. He simply obeyed. That's faith in action. Hebrews 11 and verse 8 says, by faith Abraham, when he called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Brethren, many of us want revelation before obedience. We say, Lord, show me the outcome and I'll say yes. But God says, say yes and I'll show you the outcome. Philip's willingness to go to the desert opened the door for a man's salvation and the spread of the gospel to another nation. One act of obedience can change countless lives. Maybe you're in a desert right now, a dry place in your career, your family, or your faith. You don't see the purpose, but you feel God prompting you. Go here. Speak to that person. Trust me in this. Can I tell you something? God doesn't waste deserts. Every dry place has a divine purpose. In Acts 13 verse 2, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. God still speaks. The question is, are we listening? Before God can use us in someone else's story, we must find us faithful in our own desert. When God says go, obedience is not optional. It's essential, because when we move at his command, we step into stream of divine purpose. A missionary once said, when God called me, he didn't tell me the whole plan. He only told me to go. And when I went, I found that his plan was already waiting for me. Philip's obedience set the stage for a divine encounter. Because he obeyed the direction, he met a man whose heart was already being prepared by God. Let's move to the second movement of the story, which is a desert encounter. Acts 8:30-35. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me? So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is one of the most beautiful scenes in scripture. A divine appointment and a desert road. On one side is a searching heart. On the other, a willing servant. The Ethiopian eunuch was a man of great authority. The treasurer of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. But though he was powerful, he was empty. He had gone up to Jerusalem to worship, but he left still searching. He had religion, but not relationship. Ritual, but not redemption. He was reading Isaiah 53, a prophetic message about the suffering Messiah. Think of that. He was reading about Jesus, but he didn't yet know Jesus. At that very moment, Philip arrived. God's timing is never late. The Holy Spirit orchestrated every step so that a seeking heart and a sent servant would meet at the exact right moment. Beloved, when God's people are sensitive to His Spirit, divine appointments happen. You don't have to force them. You just have to be available. Verse 35 says, "Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus." Philip didn't bring his opinions or his philosophy. He brought the word. He began with Isaiah 53, the prophecy of the lamb who was led to the slaughter. And he showed how that prophecy was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. The Bible is not just a religious book. It is a revelation of Christ. From Genesis to Revelation, it points to Him. Jesus said in John 5, verse 39, "These are the very scriptures that testify about me." The eunuch's confusion turned to clarity when Philip connected the scripture to the Savior. We must never underestimate the power of the Word of God. Romans 10, verse 17 reminds us, "Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ." Philip didn't have time to prepare a sermon like I did. He didn't pull out notes. He was simply ready. 1 Peter 3 and verse 15 says, "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." When we walk in the Spirit, we will find that opportunities to share Christ come unexpectedly. Our desert roads, in hospital rooms, in checkout lines, or late night phone calls. Philip was ready because he walked with God daily. The best preparation for witnessing is daily communication with Jesus. Friends, someone in your world is reading their own Isaiah scroll. They are confused, searching. And God may be sending you to come alongside their chariot. Will you run when the Spirit says go? Will you climb up and explain the hope you have in Jesus? A Christian once said, "I used to pray, 'Lord, use me.' Then one day God sent someone to me in need, and I realized that was the answer to my prayer." When you pray for God to use you, expect Him to send you to a desert. This encounter in the desert led to the most important moment in that man's life, a moment of decision. Now let's move to our third movement, the decisive response. As they traveled along the road, that's in Acts 8, 36 to 38. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. Somewhere between verse 35 and verse 36, The gospel took root in that man's heart. The scripture doesn't record a long prayer or a debate. It simply shows that faith was born. Faith that led to action. Romans 10 and verse 9 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's what happened in that chariot. The word brought conviction. The spirit brought revelation. And the eunuch responded to faith. Notice the eagerness. Look, here is water. He didn't wait. He didn't delay. When salvation came, obedience followed. Faith always produces movement. Baptism was the outward expression of the inward transformation. It was his public declaration. I belong to Jesus now. Can we say that? I belong to Jesus now. Amen. Water baptism doesn't save us. Jesus does. But baptism testifies that we have been saved. It symbolizes death to the old life and resurrection to the new life in Christ. Galatians 3 and verse 27 says, for all of you who are baptized in Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. Imagine this man, a foreign dignitary, stepping down from his chariot into the muddy desert water. Unashamed, unafraid, publicly declaring Jesus as Lord. That's the power of a desert decision. Sometimes the greatest acts of obedience happen in the most unlikely places. Every genuine encounter with Jesus demands a response. You cannot meet the risen Christ and remain unchanged. When Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, the people ask, what shall we do? That's always a question after the gospel is heard. What will you do? For the Ethiopian, the answer was immediate. He believed and was baptized. For you and I, the question is the same. Will we obey what we've heard? Will we make the decision God is calling us to make? Whether it's to surrender our life, to forgive someone, to step into ministry, or to trust him again in a dry place. Every desert holds a decision that can redirect your destiny. An old preacher once said, delayed obedience is disobedience. Shall I say that again? Delayed obedience is disobedience. When God speaks, the time to obey is now, right now, today. The eunuch didn't ask for more signs. He didn't need another confirmation. He simply said, here is water. May we have the same readiness of heart when God calls us to act? Because one man obeyed in the desert and another believed in the desert, a miracle occurred. Not only in the Ethiopian's heart, but in the advancement of the gospel. Colossians 1:13-14 says, he has delivered us from domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Think of baptism as putting on a jersey in sports. The jersey does not make you an athlete. But it publicly declares whose team you're on. Baptism declares whose side you're on for eternity. Baptism is a step of obedience. It is an act of faith. It is a moment where your heart and life declare, I am no longer my own. I belong to Jesus. Don't delay. Take that step today. So we move to the fourth movement. The divine outcome, Acts 8:39-40. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. What a powerful conclusion to this desert, to this desert encounter. The eunuch went on his way rejoicing. Notice the sequence: obedience, baptism, and then joy. There is a deep abiding joy that follows obedience to God's word. Psalms 40 and verse 8 says, I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. When we walk in step with God's will, even the desert becomes a place of delight. This man left Jerusalem confused, but he left the desert rejoicing. He went searching for truth and found the truth himself, Jesus Christ. Obedience brings joy because it aligns our heart with God's heart. Jesus said in John 15, verses 10 and 11, if you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Joy is not the absence of the desert. It is the presence of Christ in the desert. Philip disappears from the scene, but the gospel doesn't. The eunuch carries it back to Ethiopia, fulfilling the prophetic vision that Ethiopia will quickly stretch out her hands to God. Psalm 68 and 31 says that. Church history tells us that Christianity reached Ethiopia very early, and many scholars believe this man played a role in that. When one person obeys in the desert, nations can be touched. Meanwhile, Philip continues preaching from Azotus to Caesarea. The Spirit moves him from one place to another, showing that God's work never stops. It just shifts locations. Don't ever think your obedience is small. Philip may have thought, it's just one man. But to God, one soul is worth more than the whole world. Matthew 16, verse 26. Every time you share the gospel, every time you obey, you become part of God's great redemptive story. You may never see the full fruit of your obedience, but heaven will. Hebrews 6 verse 10 assures us, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him. The desert may seem barren, but in God's economy, even a single seed of obedience can bloom into eternal harvest. There's an old saying, bloom where you are planted. Philip bloomed in the desert, and God transplanted him where revival would spread. If you bloom where God plants you, even in a dry place, you will bear fruit for his glory. So far we've seen the divine direction, the desert encounter, the decisive response, and the divine outcome. But we must not miss the greater revelation behind it all. Who was at work orchestrating this entire story? Who was drawing hearts, guiding steps, and transforming lives? It was Jesus, the Christ of the desert. Let's now turn to our second main text in Colossians 1, 15 to 23, and see how the one who meets the eunuch through scripture is the same one who holds all creation together. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For him, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. All things have been created through him and for him. Colossians 1, 15 to 16. In the desert, Philip preached Christ. But who is this Christ? Paul tells us in Colossians, he is the visible image of the invisible God. That means when the eunuch saw Jesus through the words of Isaiah, he wasn't just learning about a prophet or a teacher. He was encountering God himself. John said in John 14 verse, Jesus said in John 14 verse 9, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. When life feels dry, when God seems distant, remember, Jesus is the revelation of the Father's heart. When you can't see the way forward, look to Christ. He is the image of the invisible. Paul continues in verse 19, verse 20. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. The Ethiopian's greatest need was not direction, education, or religion. It was reconciliation. He needed peace with God. That's our greatest need too. Sin separates us from God, but the blood of Jesus bridges that gap. Ephesians 2 and 13 says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. That is the message Philip preached. That is the message we preach. In the deserts of life, peace is found not in changing circumstances, but in a Savior who changes hearts. Paul declares in verse 17, he is before all things, and in him all things holds together. Think about that. The same Jesus who holds galaxies in places also orchestrated a meeting between Philip and one searching soul on a desert road. He is Lord over the cosmos and Lord over your circumstance. Nothing in your life is too small for his attention or too big for his power. The Christ of creation is also the Christ of the desert. He meets us where we are, reveals himself through his word, and transforms us by his grace. That means no desert is beyond his reach, and no heart is beyond his redemption. When life feels barren and silent, remember the one who spoke galaxies into being can speak life into your dry season. He still send Philips into our deserts. Friends, pastors, scriptures, songs to remind us that he sees us, he loves us, and he calls us to himself. If you're wondering today, if you're unsure of your direction, lift your eyes to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Your desert is not your end. It's a place where Christ wants to reveal himself. Every desert story points to Jesus. Every decision is in the dry places is an invitation to deeper faith. As we close, let's reflect on what God has shown us through Philip, the eunuch, and the Lord of the desert himself. Paul declares in Colossians 1 and 17, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. The one who holds galaxies in order also holds the seams of our lives. The God who sustains the universe sustains our weary hearts. This truth gives confidence in the desert. You're not stranded in random circumstance. You're walking on a road that the Lord knows intimately and sovereignly governs. The very Jesus who was revealed to the Ethiopian through Isaiah is the same Jesus who rules over time, space, and human history. He is the Lord of the nations and the Lord of your next step. When the Spirit directs a Philip to a lonely road, it's not a random act. It's a sovereign hand of the Creator at work, using ordinary obedience to accomplish extraordinary purposes. That should humble us and embolden us at the same time. When your life feels disordered or your future uncertain, remember, the Lord who created all things is present in your small moment. Turn your eyes to Jesus. He is both the revealer and the reconciler, the one who shows us the Father and the one who makes us new by his blood. As we see Christ as both the Savior revealed in Scripture and sovereign over all things, the question returns to us. What will we do with this truth? This brings us into the final movement, making a desert decision. Let us draw the threads together and answer God's call. Brethren, the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch is not just a record of ancient history. It's a mirror held up to our lives today. God still leads his people to desert roads. He still arranges divine appointments. He still sends his spirit to whisper, go, speak, share, and trust. In Acts 8, we've seen that the desert is not a place of abandonment. It's a place of assignment. Philip's obedience met the Ethiopian's openness, and eternity was changed. Every part of the story flows with divine purpose. God directed Philip to the desert. God prepared the eunuch's heart. God joined their paths together. God revealed his son through the word. God produced joy and transformation. And the same God who worked then is working now. Let's recall the movements we've walked through. The divine direction, which God leads us even when we didn't understand. The desert encounter, he prepares the hearts long before we arrive. The decisive response, faith demands action. The divine outcome, joy follows obedience. The Christ of the desert, Jesus rules over every moment, every heart, and every circumstance. These truths from the pattern of every believer's journey, we begin with confusion, but we end with clarity. We start in dryness, but we finish with delight. We enter alone, but we leave rejoicing in the presence of Christ. Now, what does that mean for us today? For some, the desert is a place of waiting. For others, it's a place of testing. And for others, it's a place of calling. But for all of us, the desert is a place of decision. You may not have chosen your desert, but God has chosen to meet you there. He may be asking you, like Philip, to obey his direction, to go, to speak, to trust without seeing the whole plan. Or perhaps, like the Ethiopian, he's asking you to believe, to stop searching and start surrendering, to lay down your pride, your fear, your confusion, and say, here is water, what hinders me from being baptized. Never underestimate what one decision in a desert can do. Philip's obedience reached one man, and that one man carried the gospel to a nation. Your obedience today may reach a child, a co-worker, a neighbor, and through them generations could be changed. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 2 says, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, not when the season feels easier, it's now. Because decisions made in the desert echo in eternity. There's a story told of a missionary who once asked a young man in Africa if he wanted to follow Jesus. The young man hesitated and said, let me go and think about it. The missionary replied gently, you can think about it on the road to eternity, but know that the road you chose today leads somewhere forever. The young man bowed his head and said, then I choose Christ now. Every person must make a choice. Every heart must decide. Every desert road leads to a crossroad. Obedience or hesitation. Faith or fear. Surrender or self. So my invitation to you today on your desert decision is, perhaps God has brought you to your own Gaza road today. Maybe you feel dry, confused, uncertain. But right here, God is speaking. This is your divine appointment. Like Philip, will you obey the Lord's call? Like the Ethiopian, will you believe the good news and act in faith? If God has spoken to you, don't wait for a better condition. Respond now. The same Jesus who met a searching soul in the desert stands ready to meet you here. He's still the image of the invisible God. He is still reconciling hearts to the Father through his blood. He is turning deserts into places of joy. Acts 8 and 39 said, and he went on his way rejoicing. Once you were alienated from God, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight. Colossians 1, 21, verse 22. So my final exhortation to you this afternoon is, may every heart in this place make its own desert decision today to trust when it's hard, to obey when it's unclear, to believe when it feels dry, and to rejoice knowing that Christ walks and every desert road leads to us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I give you thanks for your words, for your people, and Lord, oh God, for opening our eyes and our hearts. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you continue to bless us and help us to make our decision now, today, Lord. Doesn't matter how the desert seems, but help us to make that desert decision. In Jesus' name, amen.